I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car or at work. Great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb and welcome to Shed Talk. You're listening to 2ARM 92.1 FM, your local community radio station, adding great tunes to the fabric of Armidale and our local New England. Now, you might like to listen to 2ARM broadcast via internet streaming. You can do this by going to the internet, 2arm.net.au, and select the Listen Online tab. So thanks for listening in. We've got a brand new show called Shed Talk. This is episode one with Russell. So where did Shed Talk come from? I'm a member of the local motor club. And monthly is a show and shine down at the Creeklands Park. And everybody there has a passion for motors, cars, motorbikes, or just being a member of the club. And I wanted to share that passion with others and maybe make the case that if you are interested and have a similar passion, that you join a local club where you're with like-minded people and learn a lot about different motors. One of the things that I found are amusing was that people that I approached said, oh, I wouldn't have anything to say about the club or anything, but once we started talking, there's a wealth of information that comes from these people that have been a member of club or have been involved in motors and motorbikes and cars. And what we're doing is sharing the passion of the club. So without further ado, let's listen to Shed Talk, episode one with Russell.
I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM. In the car or at work, great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb and this is Shed Talk. I'm here with Russell. Good morning, Russell.
How are you, Herb?
I'm well. Car clubs. Are you a member of a local car club?
Yes, I'm a member of the local car club. I have been members of car clubs previously, but at the moment I'm a member of the Classic and Specialist Car Club of Northern New South Wales, Inc.
And you're a member of other motor-type clubs?
Motorcycle clubs. My first real road-going bike was a Velocette, so I joined the Velocette Club way back. I have two Velocettes now, a member of the Velocette Owners Club of Australia and also the Velocette Owners Club out of England.
Any other motorcycle clubs?
Yes, I've got an Aerial 1936 Aerial VB 600cc side valve in the shed there, and I'm a member of the Australian Aerial Club. What else? I was part of the Rudge Club because I have a Rudge as well.
Don't trudge it, rudge it.
That's the one.
Get out of being in a club.
You get spares for a start if you need them. You get mates, friends. I have friends all over Australia from the Velocette Club. And from going to rallies. I mean, you get the entree to rally, get to go to them. Yeah.
And what about the local club here?
On the motorcycle side, we have a ride every Wednesday, pretty much local.
I think they call the chain gang.
That's right.
And you mentioned the social part of being a member of a classic car club here.
Mm-hmm.
What other events do they have?
Well, first Sunday of every month, they have a coffee and chat in the local park down by the creek. Very nice. You get 30, 40 vehicles, motorbikes and cars, and even trucks. We've had a few trucks to belong to that. We have truck owners in the club, vintage trucks. What else is there? Oh, Jumeric Dam, second Sunday of every month. We've just started going back to that. It's sort of a picnic afternoon tea on a Sunday. And various other things. Midweek, the car side has a midweek run. We have the motorcycles have a Wednesday run every week. But the car club also does runs on Wednesdays. They go further afield more usually to a venue like a museum or a collection of cars. Or
it's the like-minded people that are brought together by the club and their love of motors, motor cars, the piston engine,
yes,
things like that. Now, where did you get your interest in the piston engine?
Well, I blame my sister, Barbara, for this. She bought me a Biggles book, and that got me interested in flying, which I got into, when I was, 20-something. And from there it went on. It was motor cars, books were the major gift in our family on birthdays and Christmas time. And we didn't have a car till I was 12, and the books I was getting was like Boy's Book of Vintage Cars, or, you know, the Observer's Book of Racing Cars, and I've got a stack of them. I've got thousands now because I've gone on collecting the damn things. That got me into it. When I went to university, I worked every year in one of the industries around Newcastle, and with my meagre earnings, I spent on motorbikes and then cars.
What was your first motorbike?
The first one I bought is still under restoration a long time later. 1926 1012 Harley Davidson. That's a JD model, 1200cc's, three-speed, foot clutch, hand gear change, and that one never went. But the guy who sold me that came from the country and had been into sheds all over New South Wales. I think he felt sorry for me because I paid not $80 for that 26 Harley, and he bought me two more than in a fortnight for $20, and then he still felt sorry for me, so he sold me a Harley Davidson 1926 Harley Davidson Pup, which is a 350 side valve single, of course, which went, and I rode it around the paddocks and up and down the train line and all the rest of it, and that's where I learned to ride. So that was my really first motorcycle experience, probably.
It's a Harley Davidson 350 Pup.
Yep. I've still got, well, I had four motors, so I'm moving towards turning that into a pea shooter, which is a three, same thing, except overhead valve. No front brake, back brake only on both those machines. Front brakes on Harleys didn't happen until 1928.
Well, it sounds like you've got a really long and strong history in the piston engine, so yeah. Why don't we go down to the shed and have a bit of a look? Oh, we've got a few here, Russell. This one in particular, what's that?
This is one of the last Velocets ever made. I call it a 1971, although it was made in England in 1970, I think, but sold here in 71, I believe. It's a Velocet Truxton 500cc production racing bike. And it's a real problem to start, and it won't idle, all those sorts of things that old racing bikes won't do. I bought it 75, I think, 1975. I was driving back from Canberra to my parents' place in Newcastle, saw it in a, what do you call them, chook chaser bike shop window, and I went in and said, is that for sale? Oh, yes. Said, what do you want for it? And they wanted the price they were sold for originally, $1,100. Doesn't go, though. I bought it anyway, and I think I knew what was wrong. It would make one bang and then wouldn't fire. So, as you have to do with these things, I took the tank off to look at the push rods and rockers, and one of the push rods had, someone had over-revved it. The push rod came, I went click, and away it went. So I was very happy with that purchase. Yeah, I don't ride it very much because it's, as I get older, it becomes more and more uncomfortable because you're crunched up. It's got clip-ons and rear sets and all those sorts of things that those racing bikes had. But it's the acme of the big English single-cylinder 500cc bike.
Well, Russell, you've got a very well-appointed shed here for doing everything. Very clean and neat. What's this one on the stand?
This is probably my most recent acquisition, although I've had it probably 18 months now. It's a Velocet Mac 350 single, very similar in the design to the Thruxton, but the bottom end pottering around town and whatever. One of the guys in the club. I came by this through the club, a member in the club who had it and wanted to sell it. And it was five times what I paid for the the Thruxton,
well, that's inflation.
Which is worth 10 times what this is. This is a runner, although I'm fiddling around with it at the moment. I've been trying different cams in it. I've got this is typical of Velocet owners. I've got three cams in there, but I think the one that was in originally is definitely the best.
So what size did you say that was?
350cc.
350.
Yeah. Velocets, there is a little book called The History of Vintage Motorbikes or something, written by some guru, and it has like a couple of pages on each motorcycle and a photograph, and the comment on Velocet was a company that never made a bad motorcycle. If they did, I've got both of them.
I see it's got the original Smith Speedo on it. Do you think they're the correct miles? 363 miles.
No, I don't, because it was sold in England. And in the motorcycle, in fact, vintage car world in England, if you have the original registration book, which is called the Buff Logbook, which I have, this was sold in England somewhere and then went to Glasgow and then came from Glasgow to Australia with an immigrant, I guess. And it's done a million miles if it's done anything, I think, yeah. But it starts easily.
Well, that's what
runs smoothly.
And the riding position...
Riding position is decent.
...is decent compared to that other Velocette over there.
Yeah, we've got the knees under your chin, yes.
Russell, I see you've got an aerial here. Tell us about this one, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, this one I bought as a package deal, these two bikes standing together, the aerial and the Rudge. The aerial's a 1936 VB aerial, which is a 600cc side valve engined bike, mainly built for sidecar hauling. Although this one I ride as a solo, and if you hold the throttle open full, it'll do 42 miles an hour, roughly, because the speedo, no, it'll swings all over the place. It's reliable. This one starts first kick nearly always, or second kick. Easy bike to start. It's a rigid frame, so no rear suspension and girder front. It doesn't handle the roads around Armidale, which are not that flat. It doesn't get out often. I ride it down to the Rego Day, Club Rego Day. That's another social event, barbecue and all the rest of it. And register it and bring it home, usually. I have ridden it in rain, ridden it a long way in rain. It was out there a long time and got very, very wet. And it stopped. It stopped, where, you know, this was a Grafton rally, which is a fantastic rally. We did a run up on the back roads up around the areas north of Grafton, and about 2 kilometres back to the showground, it stopped by the side of the road. And they have always have rescue trailers on the motorcycle rallies, and there were two rescue trailers, and they would carry about 12 bikes, and I got the last spot. And then we got back to the, you know, 5 minutes later we were back at the showground. I pulled it off and it started. Without a doubt, the Magneto got wet.
I'm Herb and this is Shed Talk. I'm here with Russell and we're going to try and start this aerial
VB 1936.
All right, give it a kick. First kick. I love the fishtail exhaust.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, same on that thing.
Yeah.
Very heavy.
What sort of speed?
This will take along the road at 42 miles an hour, in my experience. Although the reviews in the English magazines at the time reckoned it to do 70. Well, that turned out to be rubbish. I think the gearing is set up for a sidecar use.
All right, yeah, you've said that before. So this will be a rider in the club as well.
Yeah, I've been to rallies on this and on club rides, taking it down to the Sunday morning coffee and chat.
Thanks, Russell. That was sweet. And this is a Rudge you've got here.
Yes, that came as part of the deal that I did, as well as the trailer, bike trailer I've got in the backyard there. That's a 1937, I believe. Four-valve head Rudge, 500cc. It's been set up for racing, and we've only succeeded in starting it once. We had to change the jets in the carburetors. I actually think it's a methanol burner, but it's the noisiest bike I've ever owned. Or ever heard. Oh, no, that's probably not true. I've been to Speedway quite a bit, but if you could ride it, that'd be wonderful. But it's a similar thing, around the same age as the aerial, 36 or 37, and rigid frame, girder front forks, bit of a beast. It's an objet d'art rather than a rider.
So what's your plans for the Rudge?
Well, in that it's just collecting dust now, I'll probably sell it sometime to somebody who wants to race, classic race or something.
So I see, Russell, you've got a metal lathe, a pretty serious one over here. What's the story with it?
Well, that's a Hercus. We call it a 4.5-inch lathe, but it's a, clone of South Bend 9-inch lathe, as they would call it. Very sophisticated machine. It's got power feed, not just across, not down the lathe, but across as well, which is a rare feature. Made in Australia, Hercus brand, very good. And that's a very good one. I had another one here, exactly the same, and it's got a gear change, gearbox for thread cutting and all the rest of it. Had another one here, which was my father's. Same thing, exactly the same thing. But his was clapped out. I remember him buying it. I went and helped him bring it home from a factory where it was making bushes for lawnmowers or something, but it had been flogged. This one was bought by a policeman when he retired who took up auto engineering, and it's hardly been used. And it's just, you can make adjustments of half a thousandths of an inch. And it came in very handy when myself and another fellow in the club who's a was a TAFE teacher in automotive studies, we did up the overdrive for the car I've got there. Yeah, we had to make some bushes on in that, and it did a great job. Fantastic.
Well, it's always handy to have the tools in the shed to apply to the job.
Mm.
So, Russell, I see you've got a Harley motor to bits on the bench. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, did I say earlier that the fellow that sold me the 26 Harley brought me two later on? That's the motor out of one of them. It was a 29J model, which is 1,000 cc's. That motor ran quite nicely, except that the inlet valves, I don't know whether you know that these were inlet over exhaust, inlet at the top, exhaust underneath, and the inlet valves got weak. They were pretty weak, so as soon as you over the throttle, you get flames about a yard long out of your carburetor by your knee. But that motor ran quite nicely, but I've left it like that for donkey's ages, so it needs a complete rebuild now. I've got umpteen crank cases. I've got like eight pairs of cylinders, two gearboxes.
Split tanks up there.
That's right. I've got three sets of tanks, two for the JD, the J model, the 1926 sort of thing, and another set, which are exactly the same profile but narrower, for the Harley Pup, pea shooter, whatever.
So this one, the 350 Vela set here, you'll get that going and have it ready for club rides.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's your daily ride?
My daily ride is a Honda. Honda XLV 750R, which is a V-twin, three valves per cylinder, very powerful. It's meant to be a off-roady sort of bike, but I was brought up on tar, so I don't like gravel all that much. And it's a heavy bike. In fact, I injured myself dropping it in the car park at a pub. I stopped and it just started to go over and I couldn't hold it up and I did a hamstring.
I did hear about that.
I've done it twice.
Club members.
I dropped it in the university car park.
Well, let's go out and see it. We're back out in the sun here. This is your Honda. Mm-hmm. What year model is it?
1983. Now, the reason I have this bike is because I'm a member of the club. And one of the guys in the club, who was a competitive rider, had three or four of these, and he turned up here one day, and I said, gee, that's a nice bike, I'd like something like that. Anyway, he eventually sold this one to me. If you want to get into vintage motorcycling or classic motorcycling or cars, join a club before you buy anything, because there'll be stuff on offer. Best thing about this one is it's got what we old-timers call an electric leg. You press a button, and it will start.
Okay, Russell, start this Honda up.
How many cc? 750, three valves per cylinder.
Shaft drive.
So it's two inlet valves running forward. So that's very efficient. And twin ignition.
Now that definitely looks like a good one. So it's Herb, and I'm with Russell here on Shed Talk. Now, you told me, Russell, that you had a car. In all these bikes, you had a car you're restoring.
That's right. Well, I bought the Velocet Traxxon 75, and then I bought the car, 77, November 77.
So could we have a look at the car?
Maybe by all means.
Open up the door and let's get into it.
Oh, okay, I've got go inside to do that. Now, we should talk about my cars first, perhaps.
So what cars have you had?
Well, interesting cars. The first car I bought, which was not long after the Harley-Davidson in there, probably the next year, was a Sunbeam Talbot Coupe de Ville. Classy car. Four-cylinder engine, four-speed gearbox, two-tone, light and dark grey leather upholstery. Fantastic. Then, the next one I bought was my first car that I bought and drove on the road, which was a Rover 105S. It was fantastic. Four-speed gearbox with overdrive on top, but it had kickback. If you're in overdrive doing, say, 70 miles an hour, you want to overtake a truck, or 60 or 50, you planted your foot and it changed back out of overdrive and you just went whoosh around it. Very nice car to drive. Now this, the one I'm currently working on, I pulled this to pieces when I got back to Newcastle. I drove it as my only form of transit. Triumph TR6, 1971 Triumph TR6. Beautiful car. Lot of power. And very light. You can practically lift the back end off the ground. Oh, well, without the petrol tank in it, you can.
What size motor was it?
2.5 litre petrol injected, Lucas petrol injection. And you might, if you look in the boot here, you'll see this... looks like somebody's intestines, doesn't it? It's the we've replaced the original Lucas electric pump with a Bosch, and I did all that plumbing and fitting out. The arrangement is as suggested by the guy, the TAFE teacher, who was helping me with this. It has out of the petrol tank, it's got a filter that goes into a low pressure pump. I call it a swill pot, a slosh pot or whatever. If you want to put your foot down, it's got reserves of petrol ready at pressure. Into the Bosch high pressure pump, and then the fuel pressure feed to the front, the metering unit which distributes it amongst the injectors. What is it, 110 pounds per square inch? Something like that. We've run the engine, it's fantastic. My mate, I pulled it a bit, I think 85, with the intention of going off and learning how to spray paint. So I did all the painting on this. It had a rusty floor in it, as open cars quite often do. So I bought a floor for it, from the other side actually, that was a bit of a blue. But one of my motorcycle mates, from the first club of any sort I joined was the... Newcastle branch of the Vintage and Veteran Motorcycle Club of New South Wales. And that's how I got it. Well, I was taken there by the guy that sold me the Harley. But there were four boys in that, school boys like me, and one of them was an ace panel beater, and he's still actually restoring motorcycles, but he could make a motorcycle tank with separate oil and petrol and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, he took the body off, the tub off, so no mud guards, but took the rest off, cleaned the chassis up, held it in the air and rolled it around with treatment, you know, wax oil or something inside it, and put it all back together, gave it back to me, fixed the floor, of course.
Will this be the final colour? It's sort of a musty...
This is called saffron. Saffron. And it's the original colour, because I've got the compliance plate. I haven't got it on here yet, but it goes here, and it's got the colour code on it. So you stick with the colour. I'm all for originality.
What carburetors does it run?
None. Oh. It's fuel injection.
Oh, okay.
So it has throttles.
Yes, it does.
And here's the metering unit. And the only trouble I had with this car is two or three times it started to misfire. One cylinder wouldn't be firing. And the great thing about it is you leave the motor running and you can take the pulse of these tubes. And the one that has no pulse is the problem. You get your 716 AF spanner out, undo that, slide that over, pull it out, whack it on your hand, put it back in, away you go.
Very
bit dangerous
good.
Because the The exhaust pipe's directly underneath it.
So, any time frame for getting this back on the road?
Well, I started... Where are we up to? I started 85, so it's 35 years already. But, yeah, it runs. The brakes need to be... The hydraulics need to be done, clutch and brakes, and the mudguards fitted, and the bonnet, and the boot, and the doors. And I have a hard top. I've got the bonnet up there on that table with a sheet over it. Because the only part of the car I did not paint was the underside of the bonnet. No.
Well, I can see that you've taken a lot of effort with this, and good things take time. So you're a bit meticulous in the way that you've put this motor and all the sundry together.
Yeah, well, I looked on the net for photographs of where the wires went and what they were. The harness is the original. So all the colours are right and whatever. The trickiest part with the harness is hooking up the gauges. You wouldn't believe it. Like that's for the speedo, that's for the taco, and then there's four other gauges, of course. How do you like my dashboard?
Yes, well, tell us about that.
Well, it was when they were made, they were that is teak, and the originals were also teak veneer. But the original was coated with about a 16th of an inch of plastic stuff, and it cracked up. Just being out in the sun or whatever, just cracked everywhere. So I decided, I bought a new one. But you see how closely the glove box door fits? Well, the new one had about a quarter of an inch all the way around. I didn't like that, and I thought, I'll try and restore the old one. So I went onto YouTube and looked at... how to re-veneer your dashboard, and so I did it. I bought some teak veneer out of China for $20 for two bits long enough to do it. I sanded the old plastic off, and I'm going to write an article for the Car Club magazine, I reckon, because it's quite a learning experience.
Well, that's it. Being able to pass on your experience to others is, I suppose, part of what's being, you know, in a motor club, in a car club, a bike club. Well, that's about it for Shed Talk. Thank you, Russell.
My pleasure.
Many years of restoring and many years of riding ahead of you still.
Yeah, I hope so, yes. I am 70, but yeah, I have got a few years left before they stop selling us petrol, you know.
Well, that is the point. Again, thank you for being part of Shed Talk.
Okay, thank you.
Up next is Sandy Sweeney with My Kind of Country. If your church is sheds, motors, cars and bikes, we'll listen in on Shed Talk every Sunday, 12 to 1. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next Sunday.
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Pirelli, more than just a belt tyre. Pirelli's a Dragon steel belt tyre. Dragon, nerves of steel.